Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Neil Allen, who's a professor of political science at Wichita State University, where he teaches courses on American politics, civil liberties, and the Supreme Court. Welcome to Background Briefing, Neil Allen.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us, Neil. And you're in Wichita, Kansas, home of the infamous Coke Industries, but also...
Yes, I actually in my office, and I'm looking at Coke Industries right now at my window.
Oh, you are? Well, their spokesperson seemed to indicate that they were a little bit worried. Already, I guess, we got two of 260 precincts counted so far. That's 1%. And it has Thompson at 61.5% and Estes at 37%. Now, that would be a shock if it weren't so statistically insignificant, right?
That would. And also, most of those votes are from Sedgwick County, which has Wichita, which does have some fairly Democratic areas in pretty much all elections. But if this election is even close, it says something really profound about what's going on in America.
And when do you think we'll know?
It'll probably be a couple hours or more. And here in Sedgwick County, we have new voting machines that are debuting today. And so that kind of thing might slow things down a good bit.
And the three candidates in this race to replace Mike Pompeo, who is a Tea Party Republican, who Donald Trump appointed as head of the CIA, didn't he win by some extraordinary 31%, didn't he? In the last election?
Yeah,
31 points.
The Democrats haven't been above 40% in this district since 2000. Mm-hmm. And Trump won by, I believe, 30-something points. And also, the kind of voters that seem to be swinging toward the Democrats, high education, high income voters, we don't have a whole lot of those around here. This is a fairly working class sort of town.
Where Republicans outnumber Democrats by 2-1, right?
Yes, and Democrats really haven't held this district since 1994,
right,
as well.
Right.
But the Democrat here, James Thompson, is running a fairly active campaign. He hasn't raised a huge amount of money, although a lot over the weekend, but certainly more active than Democrats have been recently. And the Republican, Ron Estes, has been pretty underwhelming as a candidate. And we had Ted Cruz here yesterday. Both Trump and Pence have recorded robocalls, so the National Republicans are clearly worried about this district.
Well, I did see an ad for Ron Estes, the Republican, where he's wading in a swamp. And I'm not sure that, it's an ironic message. Obviously, it worked on the campaign for Donald Trump. We're going to drain the swamp. But there's not a lot of evidence that anything's happening. I mean, you just have to look at Mar-a-Lago over last weekend, Trump's private estate down there, a club at which it costs you $200,000 to be a member. And Bill Koch, the oldest of the Koch brothers, was there with David Koch, and Trump dropped by the table for a chat. But that's pretty rarefied atmosphere that Trump moves in, hardly the kind of world that draining the swamp implies.
That's true, although we have to remember that in pretty much every public poll recently, Trump has been polling around 85% among Republican identifiers.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get normal turnout here, that would be enough to win by itself. But what makes this a possibly competitive election is that Democratic intensity seems to be so much higher than Republican intensity.
Well, that's a shift because Barack Obama once said that Democrats almost have a genetic problem with voting in midterms. They always turn out for presidential elections, but not for midterms. And of course, these special elections have an even lower turnout than midterms, don't they?
Very much so. I looked at the numbers for there was a special election in 2005 in a Cincinnati area Republican district where the Democrat almost won, and there they only had about 100,000 voters, which would be maybe a third of normal turnout, and that was a fairly high profile special election. We'll be lucky to get to 100,000 votes here, where we had 250,000 in November. So, and Democrats usually don't do well in those kind of elections. But Republicans might be a bit demoralized because Trump has not brought the kind of change that they were looking for, or really any change whatsoever in terms of public policy. And the Democrats have, I think around here, like Democrats across the country, are seeing how important political action is.
Again, I'm speaking with Neil Allen, who is a professor of political science at Wichita State University, where he teaches courses on American politics, civil liberties, and the Supreme Court. So let's just talk a little bit about, since you're looking out the window at Koch Industries, how much do they dominate the town of Wichita?
Well, not as much as you might think. I mean, we have a lot of different kinds of employment here. We do a lot of healthcare because we're the one city in a kind of 100-mile radius around. The aircraft industry is still the biggest employer in town, although it doesn't employ anywhere near what they used to and has been hurt by foreign competition. But Kochs are a pretty big presence. Their philanthropy around town is pretty substantial and seems to be following a kind of the wealthiest person in town. And actually here at Wichita State University, the Kochs give us a lot of money, but it doesn't have strings like it does at a lot of places. So they tend to be giving money to us and to areas around just because they're the wealthy people here in Wichita. But there's lots of people that work for Koch, and they're a huge presence here. And also they've been increasing in employment over the last decade or so while the aircraft plants have been decreasing.
And the aircraft plants, is it Cessna or Piper?
We have Beech and Cessna were both founded here in Wichita. They are now merged again together because they're both owned by the same Chinese company, Textron. We have a Boeing split off called Spirit, and then lots of small aviation companies. Mm-hmm. Here at Wichita State, we actually now have a bunch of Airbus workers who are headquartered on campus. But it's still the driver of the local economy. But like so many manufacturing sectors, it just doesn't employ the number of line workers that it used to.
And what do people at Koch Industries do? What kind of they have this reputation for being in the kind of fossil fuel extractive industries?
The headquarters are here, so there's a lot of the kind of financial jobs, mm-hmm. a lot of lawyers. Also, they have a pretty active chemistry unit that's doing product development because, you know, they're in all kinds of sectors, not just oil and gas, paper towels, for example. And so, but a lot of the headquarters work is here because the Koch family is from here. I actually drive past every morning driving my daughter to school, the Koch family compound where Charles still lives.
So back to the race that has, you know, the eyes of the nation are upon you, Neil, whether you like it or not. And I don't know whether it's a false hope on the part of the Democrats to think that they could pull off an extraordinary upset like this, but we will see. The DCCC, the Democratic Campaign Committee, haven't given the Democrat James Thompson, who's he's a civil rights. What is he? A civil rights lawyer?
He's a local civil rights lawyer and does trial work. He's actually an alum of my department many years ago, and is was homeless for a while actually, and went into the army, put himself through college on the GI Bill, went to law school, and does legal work here. He won the nomination at a committee, I think only had 40 people in it because of the way the special election works, mainly because he was kind of the proxy candidate for the Sanders wing of the party, narrowly beat a more establishment candidate who'd been a state representative. And Thompson is running a pretty active campaign. He's making a lot of his veteran status in his advertisements. He has a lot of firearms. He's shooting an AR-15 in all of them, which would work around here because Wichita is a traditionally working class area where gun ownership and certain kind of conservative values are pretty important. Union membership used to be a driver of voting with the Machinists Union, but they are very weak compared to where they used to be.
And James Thompson has raised, what, about $250,000 in small donations?
That was actually by the first reporting period, mm-hmm. but he's raised about that much money or more just over the weekend since the national news caught that the National Republican Party was worried. So the Thompson campaign is running about, you know, there's so many advertisements on radio that you click from one station to another and the same Thompson ad is on. And Estes hasn't raised that terribly much money, only $250,000 by the last reporting period, which is not a terribly good number for a Republican in a district like this.
But the Republicans, unlike the Democrats, who are not spending any money, the Republican Party has put in $120,000 in the last few days, and they dispatched Vice President Mike Pence and Senator Ted Cruz, and they also have Donald Trump doing robocalls and tweeting out that Ron Estes is running today for Congress in the great state of Kansas. A wonderful guy. I need his help on health care and tax reform, tax cuts reform. So it does look as if the Dems aren't ponying up, whereas the Republicans, if they're worried, even if they're even stepping up to the plate here, that's pretty unusual in itself, isn't it?
It is, and also the national party committees try to avoid spending a lot of money in a special election that's not going to be close. And also, if you're going to spend money in a special election in this cycle, the one to spend it on is the Georgia 6th, which is the opposite kind of district of this one, which is has more college graduates than any district in the country, is in the northern suburbs of Atlanta, and there the Democrat has raised something like $8 million already. And that race looks to be almost even right now. And even the Montana at-large, which will be the next one, is a little more fertile ground for the Democrats than the Kansas 4th. But there might be something pretty serious going on across the country in that there might be a reaction against the Trump administration. And also there might be a decline in enthusiasm of core Republicans as the Trump administration really hasn't been giving people what they promised.
Well, but it's always about turn-up, and the Republicans are great at getting turnout. The Democrats aren't, particularly in midterms and in these...
That's true, although also in Kansas, the Republican Party is really on its heels. The Governor Brownback is about the most unpopular governor in the country. There's a massive budget hole because of tax cuts. Democrats have gained a bunch of seats recently, and moderate Republicans have taken out a bunch of conservatives in primaries. Big tax increases have been passing both houses of legislature, and they've almost overrode Brownback's vetoes. So Thompson, the Democratic candidate, is trying to tie Estes, the Republican, as much as he can to Governor Brownback. And the Republicans are just lucky they didn't nominate a state legislator because the state legislative Republicans are tremendously unpopular. I mean, Trump is actually significantly more popular here than Governor Brownback.
Well, just in closing, Brownback's up for election in 2018. Could that...
He's term limited.
Oh, he's term limited, is he?
That doesn't mean the Democrats won't try to talk about Brownback constantly.
Right,
year and a half.
Does that mean in 2018, which is a key, obviously, midterm, it could be a shift in the famous state that the famous book was written about? What's the matter with Kansas?
Oh, it could be very true. And also, midterms are usually pretty bad for a party of a president. And it's usually because the president starts popular and ends about with the current popularity of Trump. But if he drops off another 10-15% like most presidents do over this cycle, then we might be seeing a wipeout that might make 2006 look tame.
Well, Neil Allen, I thank you very much for joining us here.
Thank you for having me.
And again, I'm speaking with Neil Allen, who's a professor of political science at Wichita State University, where he teaches courses on American politics, civil liberties, and the Supreme Court. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.